I'm Tommy Gimler. The NFL Scouting Combine has concluded, and the biggest story coming out of this year's event? You guessed it, a player's big black cock coming out of his shorts during his 40-yard dash. We've got BBC expert Dutch McTavish here to help break that down.
Right now, the sports world is slower than the kid who used to bag my groceries at Piggly Wiggly.
That's slow.
He had two left hands. That's why we're talking the Oscars and trying to find some way to relate them to sports. That's why this is the Daily Upper Decker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Pop culture.
And I'm the fabulous T-Sean. And are we on? Is this the Dudcast? Are there sports? We'll answer all these questions.
The Daily Upper Decker. Nothing but sports and crap.
Welcome, fellas. Good to have you here. Sean, you're fabulous, but that's 2 week ones in a row. I'll start. Those are 2 week introductions. I have no problem giving you constructive criticism right off the bat this week. It's a slow sports week.
Coming out throwing jabs, eh, Tom?
Right away. Like, I'll write them out. I remember I used to write them out for you.
No, I don't remember that.
Okay, I used to. And you were like,
wasted ink.
I will come up with something on my own. Dutch McTavish, good to have you back.
Hey, good to be here, Derek Tom.
When was the last time you were here? What were we talking about? Was it the arrest draft?
The arrest draft. And so far, Marquette King, the punter of the Oakland Raiders, has not been arrested and is disappointing.
Shocking. None of us took Joseph Randall. I didn't know if he was eligible because he was no longer an athlete, right?
I believe you said he was not eligible.
Because he wasn't on a team.
Right, and no one's going to pick him up.
Yeah, you made up the rules. So
well, he's been arrested now five times in 17 months. He might be eligible to start for the Dallas Cowboys.
Probably two or three times since we did that. Which
correct.
Was
you're right. It's crazy. Speaking of players who are going to get arrested, gentlemen, let's jump right into the hot mess, huh?
The hot mess.
I mean, what do you think the percentage of each NFL combine, what do you think the percentage of participants who eventually get arrested? 6%?
I'm going to go a little higher than that because there are so many guys that don't get drafted.
Right.
And it's time to go and do some bad shit.
I like it. Yeah. Plus, you know, how many of those guys end up on the Bengals?
Oh, you're going to get arrested anyway.
Correct.
Cincy's a tough town.
We're going to talk NFL Combine just because everybody else is, and we're pretty much going to make fun of it because, to me, I would consider it somewhere sandwiched somewhere between the WNBA and professional marbles on the list of like biggest wastes of time. The NFL Combine. I really don't get why it exists. You know, has it really ever like panned out like Tom Brady? Where did Aaron Rodgers finish in everything?
I think he was pretty good
in the combine.
It was either between him and Alex Smith for the number one quarterback, and no one knew who it was going to be. It was probably the most up in the air who's going to be the number one pick that year.
Yeah, and then who's not going to get drafted until like 20 some picks later. Yeah.
He did have a great sulky face as he waited, though. Yeah, no one focuses on that. It's just the fucking discount double check. But he had a quintessential sulky face.
But he wasn't buying Girl Scout cookies that day, I'll tell you.
No.
But he...
Here's one for the quiver, though. I think you should put together a montage of photos for the NFL draft of people who are supposed to get drafted high and then show them as they get into the 20s and the happy looks on their faces to, oh, shit, my life is over.
Is that the second player from Iowa who just got drafted before me? Yeah.
Right. Where the hell is Drake? And do they have a football team? Come draft time, I think it'll be fun. Who's the guy that was supposed to get drafted in the first round, like within the last 3 or 4 years, who made it to the second day and showed up wearing like a T-shirt?
Sounds like Jimmy Clausen.
It probably was.
Teen Wolf?
Well, the...
Oh, he only
Styles,
plays hoops.
Is his name Styles?
He only plays
Teen
hoops.
Wolf's friend,
my mistake.
Styles. Styles! Come on, buddy.
Confession time. I have a What Are You Looking At Dick Nose t-shirt on the way.
Come on, really?
I was going to save it, but I'm so excited. I love Styles.
Is it green? Can you wear
it?
St. Patrick's Day? It's black. Damn it. Well, based on you know, I didn't even watch the NFL Combine, but we did post an NFL Combine story, and that was because Chris Jones, the defensive lineman from Mississippi State, was doing the 40-yard dash, and about 15 yards in, his big black cock and balls busted out of his spandex and were flopping around until he, like, dove cock first into the turf. And then, like, as he was, like pushing himself off the turf, there you go, just inches and inches of cock and balls.
Did you
hanging
see it better? Oh. I mean, you had tried to show me this the other
at
day.
At golf, but yeah, we were golfing, and I tried to show it to him, and you couldn't really see it on my phone. You can see how big it is on the computer screen.
Wait. Is that what BBC stands for?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was the British Broadcasting Channel.
No, not on the dud.
Oh, well, I better.
No soccer, no Brit.
I better shut up for a minute then.
We should look and see on Wikipedia if you Google BBC Wiki, does it say, like, if you're looking for big black cocks, click here. This is the page for BBC News.
So what was this guy's name?
Chris Jones,
Chris
Mississippi
Jones.
State, defensive end. Well hung, well endowed.
Right. So do you think that he took a dive so that no one would see it?
Correct. I think he was trying to cover it up. That's what he was doing. Yeah, he was trying to fall on it. But he was laughing. He was like a good sport about it. But the whole point of this thing is, this is the biggest story coming out of the NFL Combine.
So let me pose this question to you, fellas. You're an NFL GM. Would you draft Chris Jones because of the size of his BBC? Or... I mean, obviously, he's going to disrupt.
This guy's
going to
be just fine in the locker room. He's going to have no problem getting along. And he's a big boy. That was pretty flaccid.
He was
a big boy. Let's put it that way. But check out some of these questions. I want you guys to answer these questions. These are some of the questions that the players get asked, and I think that this is almost. It basically shows, it illustrates how big of a waste of time the NFL Combine is. These are the questions that these players get asked by NFL executives. Boxers or briefs? Like, why on earth would you ask that question to somebody? What is that going to show?
I thought we were
going
to be answering.
Boxers or briefs? The fabulous T-Shawn?
I've got the those snug style kind of boxers.
Boxer
now.
Briefs.
Yeah.
Boxer briefs, okay.
Yeah.
I'm wearing the same things that Chris Jones was when
wearing them a little different.
Absolutely nothing beneath the shorts. Yeah,
came out. Yes, so Under Armour brand running shorts.
He's even dropping the name brand.
Nice.
Huh? Looking for a sponsor.
No, isn't that what they all wear?
The fabulous T-Shawn, if you had to murder someone, would you use a gun or a knife?
Can I make the faces that you put up on the website?
Those are amazing.
That was good. That was actually some good content, Tommy.
That was. Well, that came from Austin Lane,
who
was briefly a bear.
I rescind the kudos.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
That's
all right.
If you had to murder someone, fabulous T-Shawn, gun or knife?
It depends on how personal it needed to be. I mean, if it's someone I know and he really deserves it, you go knife. Yeah, you know, a gun keeps your distance, you know.
Seems a little too easy, right?
Yeah.
A knife. I'm an artist.
Yeah. The way Rambo did it, actually, in First Blood. I mean, it was a lot of knife work.
I think I'm going to take a page out of your book here, Tom. Weren't you trying to kill your wife's purse dog by sending its cholesterol through the roof and hoping that he had a heart attack so it didn't look like...
Coming up on the one-year anniversary.
You tossed him out in front of traffic. I mean, so, yeah, it would be...
Would you use a gun, knife, or corned beef?
Butter.
Right. Yeah, you're going with a slow poison method.
Going with the slow poison method. So it's going to take some time and effort. It might cost a little more. But definitely worth it to see these people suffer with clogged arteries.
When a coach made the statement, I see you have dreads. You smoke weed, don't you?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
I mean, I
live in Southern California.
That is the answer, right?
No, it would be why you got some.
Yeah. Be a whole lot cooler if you did.
Right. The fabulous T-Shawn, is your mother attractive?
She had her day.
Dutch McTavish, is your stepmother attractive?
Hoo-hoo.
My mom was actually a beauty pageant winner in her youth. So.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Miss Ottawa.
What? Get the fuck out of here. Are you serious or no?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you look a lot like your father.
Right.
Very good.
Born in the woods.
I think your parents met a lot like Back to the Future, George McFly and... Right.
Yeah, my dad does have those kind of glasses.
Her dad hit your dad with the car.
Right. Was your dad peeping Tom in her
at the pageant?
At the pageant?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't hear that story, but I did have to go back in time to fix things. So.
But instead of a DeLorean, you got stuck with a Buick Regal.
I mean, can you imagine just like one of these dopey NFL executives sitting across from Chris Jones from Mississippi State?
He's getting a lot of airtime.
You think your mother's is your mom attractive? I'd be like, motherfucker, what did you just say? I'm not asking a 300-some-pound defensive lineman from Mississippi State if I think his mother is attractive.
The Hot Mess.
Now this one. What makes this crazy, so we're talking now here in the Hot Mess about the Montreal Canadiens, their quest to get 1 million followers on Twitter. It didn't go so well. Mm. So their goal, their thing was like, hey, to get as many followers as we can, we're so close to the 1 million mark, we are not only going to retweet or like, you know, tweet back a personalized jersey with whoever decided to follow us, no matter what it is. We're going to put it on the back of that jersey. You're going to get that jersey sent to you, and it's going to have like us attached to it. So everybody who's following the Montreal Canadiens Twitter feed gets to see these jerseys. You're also going to get a player thanking you in a video like, hey, thanks a lot for your support. Well, guess what happened? And this isn't the first time this has happened. The Patriots tried something very similar, and people are smart. They get around it. Even racists are smart. Take a guess at what happened here. Take a guess. So
I think something must have gotten lost in translation. I think, you know, doing the English French nature of the community. That's going to be my guess.
I think hashtag voiceofsean.com is universal, isn't it?
Oui.
So of course, you know, accounts were created. There's a lot of let's just say there are a lot of N bombs, and to save us all.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. So. We can get around this. We're better than that.
Dude.
We're better than that to just like give them credit. So we're going to replace the N-bomb with the word pineapples. All right? So here are some of the people who decided to follow the Montreal Canadiens during their quest for 1 million followers. And these are some of the followers who got thank you videos as well as like jerseys with their like personalized jerseys sent back to them. Death to pineapples. And one of the videos that was sent to Death to Pineapples was of Montreal's black player thanking them for their support. Didn't really think that one out. At Lynch Pineapples. let's see. How about at Pineapples Ubin.
I think we get the gist here. Yeah. I thought that Montreal was a progressive city.
Well, you got to figure out how many people in Canada, once you get outside of the city, are still following the Canadiens. They're one of the original eight, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So
six.
Six, yeah.
Well, original six, excuse me. That's it?
Yeah. Yeah.
They started out like the lingerie league with just six teams?
Yeah. Yes.
And wow.
Look at them go.
Good for them. Yeah. So, I mean,
with Boston, the Florida Panthers, and the Dallas Stars, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, is it time to just stop doing this? It's the second time it's happened now. Like, they did not take a page out of the page. So, the Patriots did the same thing, and the same thing happened.
Well, I think that it's just an indictment on society here about how stupid people really are. Now, I think there are probably 75% of hardcore Canadiens fans who are like,
I want to follow the Canadiens and get the news and the updates and maybe a couple of butt videos like some videos. There's my favorite player's ass.
It should be I'm at Pat Roy's bastard child.net. I don't know if I can name any more Canadiens.
Patois, a twat or something like that. Yeah. Something like that. See if that gets in a little more playful.
Maurice,
there,
but, the Rocket Richard.
But odds are, it's just like odds are, a couple of like 16 or 17 year old kids saying like, "Hey, what do you think we can get through?" Because that's what you do.
What happened to tweeting something about weed or your friend pissing his pants? I mean.
Dude, before this,
why does it have to be racist?
I don't even understand what happened here and how all the nastiness happened. Like, it seems like the weirdest promotion of all time. That's what.
Well, it was just like it was just like, okay, they had a promotion that was like, hey, follow us. So like, we're at Daily Upper Deck on Twitter. Yeah. I'm at Funny Tommy. So if I would have followed the Montreal Canadiens, if I wanted to learn about the Canadiens or get all their updates, anything like that, they would have sent me back a personalized jersey. Like a picture that said at Funny Tommy on the back of a Canadian's jersey,
I see, a player
would have thanked me. They would have said, "Hey, thanks a lot for your support." People took advantage of the system, whether or not they're serious about it or just trying to have fun. But you have to think that, especially after the Patriots did it and it was well publicized when they did it, that this is something where somebody had to lose their job over this, because it the second time around, like, you didn't take precautions to make sure that this didn't happen. Or you didn't have like an intern there, like just looking at each person who followed you.
That's
all
true.
They did was someone created an automated program and didn't think about it.
Not sure the PR guy for the Patriots who went to the Canadiens is going to get another job.
I'm actually sure
he was like, "Oh my god, I got one again."
Failing up is a natural cause and effect of our society.
Welcome to Syracuse University. I think that, yeah, it is a fuck up, and I think it would be funner to do. You're better than that, people. I mean, get creative and poke some fun at the team or something like that. I don't want to be
like your ex-wife or something like that. My ex-wife's a bitch. Hey, my ex-wife is a bitch. Thanks for following. That's funny.
Right. You had to split your season tickets with her or some shit.
Right.
You know, there's a reason to be pissed off, you know.
At Pat Waz a twat. That's a good one. I might have to. Well, we might have to see if we can sign up for that one right there. That's a good one.
I don't want to be a bleeding
Ray Bourque is a dork. Oh, come on.
I don't think he was a Canadian, was he?
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm just any of these. At Ray Bourque is a dork. Whatever, just something.
Give me some time. I'm going to come up with a Habs joke, because isn't that what they're called?
The Habs. Yeah.
Yeah.
At Habs or Heebs.
But yeah, like, yeah.
Keep working on it, fellas.
You're better than that, people.
We are, As a society, you have to be better than that. And it's just like, that's why we can't have nice shit. Thanks a lot, Canadians and Patriots fans. All right, two quick hitters here in the hot mess before we move on to our Oscars recap. Gentlemen, former National shortstop Ian Desmond turned down a 7-year, $107 million extension with Washington before last season. Earlier this week, he signed a 1-year, $8 million deal to play left field with the Rangers. Did he make the right call? I mean, what an asshole.
I mean, we brought up mathematics before, and I feel like he missed out on some of those classes.
Isn't that unbelievable? Like, that has...
Is it Ian or Ian?
Ian. It's Ian. Yeah. It's not Ian Ziering. This is Ian Desmond. So now imagine, like, you're Ian Desmond. Like, in baseball, this isn't a football contract. As soon as you sign that contract, it is 7 years, $107 million. You made $107 million unless you die in a drunk driving accident with your girlfriend.
Well, there we go.
Okay? So you just made $107 million.
Like, I see what he's
think about against. You as a voiceover artist, the fabulous T-Sean. Imagine coming to, like... Imagine your agent saying, "Hey, turn down this $1.5 million deal with Pepsi, right? Because I think I can get him up to three. I get him up to three.
No, I
and
can't.
Then all of a sudden you
I
find
can't
out.
Imagine that, actually, based on my current representation. It does seem like that's something he might pull.
See, but imagine that. So if I'm a player, I'm Ian Desmond, you just got offered 7 years, $107 million, and your agent said, turn that down.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a second. I think he saw the writing on the wall in Washington, and the prospects of having Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump as president and living there for the next 7 years during their whole presidency. I think that he wanted to get out and go to Texas. He's going to end up a Seattle Mariner eventually. I think he made the right call.
In the interim, he'll live right by George W.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Loves it.
Well, what could totally happen here
who
is
likes
that
to party.
He goes to Texas, which is a hitter's ballpark, and he has just one hell of a year. But they already have Elvis Andrus, another overpaid shortstop, at shortstop, so they have to move him to left fields. But his natural position is shortstop, so he has to go have a monster year to get anything even close to 7 years, $107 million offered to him again.
I think we can all agree, big time fuck up.
Hey man, yeah, right. So that's it. He's hoping he gets like one of these $150 million deals. Is that essentially?
I think that's what they were thinking. Or you know, but imagine even if it was like no, I think we can get 110. At that point, who gives a fuck? And at this point, Ian Desmond should fire his agent if he hasn't already. This is one of the most colossal contract fuck ups of all time, I think, and that's the only reason why we're talking about it.
I think that that this is a great segue into what's really great about baseball right now. Did anyone see Cespedes riding into spring training on a horse today?
That is correct, along with Noah Syndergaard.
Yes.
Was his dick hanging out?
He was wearing Under Armour. Thank you, Montreal Canadiens. At Under Armour brand super tighties and riding War Admiral.
It's totally bizarre.
Didn't War Admiral win an Oscar?
He might have.
I just used that as a seg. Yeah. Speaking of your seg, better seg guys into this one. Let's talk about the Oscars. This is the Daily Upper Deckers Oscars recap, gentlemen. Oscars.
The Duds Oscars recap.
Gentlemen, like Dutch said, the sports world is slower than the kid who bagged his groceries at Piggly Wiggly, so we're going to try and tie it in with pop culture. So why don't you guys give me at least, and we were going to have the very talented and funny Brady Matthews call in, but he must be going late up at Flappers in Burbank. He's headlining up there tonight.
I there's no way for me not to visualize a giant pussy lips when I hear the name of that place. I'm sorry.
Flappers. They knew what they were doing.
It's just I
guess can't. How many lesbians they get there thinking it's a dyke bar.
Four.
I'm sorry. Is Margaret Cho here tonight? all right, guys. So the best picture went out to Spotlight, which I could see. I thought it was right up there with Revenant. I enjoyed it.
It's not as good, but
it's a well done film.
Yeah.
Very casting
it
is amazing.
It is the Crash. 10 years later, you know, that movie Crash. Yeah. It also won no other awards,
right?
And suddenly,
but Spotlight won
best
original screenplay or best adapted. No, it was best original. It was best original screenplay.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
And deservedly so. Amazing script.
I mean, but I would have thought, like, as far as a fresh take on filmmaking, the Big Short was actually like a more interesting film.
I thought it was good, but definitely not best picture. And that won best adapted screenplay, so kudos to them. But what we're looking for here is the best picture.
Right.
Right?
The Revenant.
Overall. All right, so you say The Revenant, but I'm saying the way we're going to, like, you know, bring this back to the sports world.
Oh, right, okay, sorry.
Is we're gonna call...
you got to keep telling
me
the rules.
We're going to go best picture, but what we're looking for in the sports world, these are the dud Oscars, all right?
Oh, the...
We're looking for the best picture is basically equals the best franchise here. So in your and you have 30 seconds on each one here. In your opinion, what is the best franchise in all of sports today? Minus soccer. I don't want to talk about soccer. I hate soccer.
Who goes first?
Either one. Go ahead, jump in.
I was reading this earlier today and I was debating with myself and I was gonna say the New England Patriots because of all of the success that they've had and it sounds like they do things the right way, kind of like the Niners did in the 80s where everybody kept saying, oh yeah, the Niners, you know, this is a first class organization. But then a light kind of shined on me about another team that has similar success, and it's the San Antonio Spurs.
Ah,
and
it's two off my page right here. I've got four on here. That's good. Keep going.
And those bastards just keep winning. And they just keep getting the same guys, or they just keep getting these no-name nobodies from nowhere. I mean,
well, and then you get a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge, who's just like, I'm a fan of the system. I will take lesser, media attention, and I'll take lesser points. Like
in a town like
a
San
lesser
Antonio,
stat line. Yeah,
I've never been there, and apparently the Riverwalk is
lovely,
but It's San Antonio, you know. It's 8 feet from Mexico. And
you're the kings of that fucking town, though, and it's getting bigger and bigger. Until the Raiders get there, you are the kings of that town.
All right.
I believe he's from there, though. Didn't he go to Texas? I thought he was a Longhorn, LaMarcus Aldridge.
Mm. Oh, maybe.
So, you know, I mean, he's just coming home.
No, all right, so you're saying Patriots, Spurs.
I'm saying the Spurs are the best franchise in all of sports.
Okay.
I'm going to go... from the NHL, the Colorado Avalanche, because they had Patrick Waugh at one point.
Twat?
Yes.
Patrick Waugh, the twat.
Those are both fine choices.
And they still do, right? Isn't he the coach?
He is the coach. He hasn't gone anywhere. They love him there.
Why leave?
He doesn't have to speak French anymore. No confusion. You know what? I'll stay in the marijuana state and, you know, the Denver Broncos. And here's why I think they might trump the Patriots. Well, here's why.
Isn't like, hey, who's your favorite team?
Oh.
It's who's the best franchise in sports?
Right, the Denver Broncos.
All right.
No. So, and part of it, though, is it goes back to culture, to a great family and a great man behind the team. You know, very beloved owner, Pat Bowlen, very ill right now. Always did things right. No controversy, unlike...
Can you cue the Oscars music? Can we bring this in? We got to get him to finish it up here.
Well, all right. I mean, I thought I had to reason it. Otherwise, I'm happy
You're not giving me anything. I'm going to fucking bring up the Happy Gilmore. Like, your rant has made no sense.
I feel smarter for it.
Well, why not? Yeah, it's a fun night. All right,
let's go. Moving on. Let's go. Best.
So, Patriots, Spurs, I would say...
You said that the Denver Broncos are the best franchise in sports?
It's just an asinine. I just feel like we just lost their one of
greatest,
our listeners.
Look, their greatest player is now in charge of their
Shaggy's
personnel.
Actually, one of our listeners? I think he might have turned it up.
Yeah, we're 50% better right now.
Yeah,
Shag, put that volume on 11, boy.
That's so we've right. got...
No, we have Elway as its top executive. We have one of the most beloved and dear and caring and competitive owners of all time.
They're not even the best franchise in that league.
And I would like to thank. All right, fine, that's fine.
So I agree with Dutch where like you have to look at the Patriots' run over the last 15 years, and that is unbelievable. That is unprecedented in today's NFL. The Patriots, I would say the Spurs as well. That is also like and it's not an every year thing, but it's pretty damn good. I said the San Francisco Giants as well. They're just to be an every other year team, great. That's outstanding, especially like in baseball where the salary cap isn't as harsh as other sports. And then the Chicago Blackhawks as well.
That's who you thought I was going to say in the
NHL. Yeah, I didn't.
But I think that
how about
you
the Florida Panthers.
You have to go beyond. I went beyond what their record is. People want to go and play for the Patriots. People want to go and play for the San Antonio Spurs. And Aldridge is a great example of
that.
Look
at the Giants.
And people want to go and play for the Giants. And yes, in baseball, I think it is the San Francisco Giants because it's insane how do you really want to go and play for San Francisco? It's a cool city and all, but I don't know if I necessarily want to live there.
I don't want to give my entire salary to the homeless.
Right?
Let's move on here. All right. The Best Actor Award is pretty much equal to the Best Athlete. I'll go ahead and just throw a couple names out there. I was thinking Mike Trout, Steph Curry, Cam Newton, Russell Wilson.
Just best, like as someone who would perform
in a category, there's no debating that Mike Trout is the best player in baseball. You could say you could say, hey, Bryce Harper had a great year last year, but based on the last three to four years, the kid's just been unbelievable. Mike Trout is far and away the best player in baseball.
He's a flapper.
And we talked about how great Steph Curry is right now. So that would be right. Like my two right there. I would say Trout or Curry.
Okay. All right. I see where it's sort of like the top performer currently in their respective sport is
right now, or the two words that are in there. Who is the best athlete in all of sports right now? And you know, that's one of the things about football is I think that it changes. Thanks, buddy. I think that it changes so much from year to year. Football, like Aaron Rodgers is the best one year. This year, like Cam Newton was amazing. So I honestly don't know if you can pick a football player because it fluctuates so much. I think that that Trout has just proved over the last couple of years that he's the best. But that's it. Do you guys have anything else to add there?
I do.
I probably do.
Well, I was hoping you'd take a look at the sheep before the show.
Did I get it before the show?
Yes, you did.
I'm going to go with Jagomir Jagr.
Ah!
You know, because he's still playing.
48 years young. Yeah,
like, he's old-time hockey now.
And have you seen that guy's sex tape? That is hot.
Does he have a sex tape?
Hot. With Paris Hilton.
Wow, get out of here. When was this?
He's got a sex tape with somebody. It's... Don't you remember that?
This guy's been playing in like three different decades.
During the offseason, some skank.
Almost four. Yeah. It was like close to four. Yeah.
Some skank took a selfie of her and Jagr. And, you know, like, here's Jagr sleeping after I just got done with him. And she takes a selfie and is like, what? I'm not married. I don't give a shit. You know?
Jagomir Jagr.
Take all you want. Like, yeah. Look at me sleeping. I just...
Well, I'm glad we're talking about Jaromir, is it?
Jagomir.
Jaromir.
Yeah.
Jaromir. I'm glad we're talking about Jagomir Jagr because that has so much to do with our Oscars recap right now. Best director, which is our best coach or manager. Who do you think? Real quick, 15 seconds. Who is the best in sports today? Best coach or best manager?
To tie in with my best franchise, it's either Belichick, and I can't give
or
him
Popovich.
It because he cheats.
He cheats, correct.
Right, he's a cheater.
But I'm going to have to give it to Popovich because he gets all these guys in there, and they buy into his system.
People love him.
They don't care, mm-hmm. and they just keep winning.
Mm-hmm.
They might win it all this year. I think the Warriors, if the Warriors lose this year, it's because they get out-coached by Popovich.
Right.
That's the only way that
I'm gonna go with Greg Popovich over Joe Maddon strictly because of the championships that he's won. But Joe Maddon is a phenomenal baseball manager. Mark my words, he will win a championship in Chicago.
God, I hope not.
It is coming. He is that good of a manager. Like, sure, they had some young talent last year, but to go to, what did they win? 97, 98 games last year? I think it was 97, right? Based on what they had won like the previous years. It wasn't like they brought in like a shit ton of free agents. Sure, John Lester, but that was pretty much it. And it was just a new attitude, a new sheriff in town, and he knows how to run a program or knows how to run a baseball team, and he's great. But I think if you have to say choose Popovich or Joe Maddon, you have to go Popovich.
Are we counting college sports here?
Sure, if you want.
Bobby Knight. All right, let's move on.
All right. Last one.
No, Boeheim.
The Stacey Dash Award. Who's the biggest dipshit in sports today? I'm going to go Johnny Manziel. He's technically still on the Cleveland Browns. Is he not?
You stole mine.
Is he not? I mean, he just is. It just keeps coming. You would think like eventually, hey, he's just going to go away. Like someone's going to get a hold of him. How can no one get a hold of this guy and tell him to just, hey, stop it.
I think we were all young and stupid once, Tom.
We are. Yeah, we were. But eventually, like, someone has to just grab you and beat the fucking shit out of you. Whether or not it's his... And that might be the problem. His best friends might just be along for the ride and just saying, fuck them. They don't know what they're talking about. You just need that friend who just beats the fucking shit out of you and just says, hey, you are a dick.
I'm not hanging out with Gimler for the next month or two.
Yeah, right. Jesus, he's pretty he's pretty worked up.
Johnny Manziel, we have anybody else who's going to trump the Stacey Dash Award?
He's been losing weight. He's getting all svelte and shit. He's already really... Yeah,
look how, drinking two different kinds of alcohol.
He's already idiot strong. I'm scared here. Yeah,
Stacey Dash Award. Anybody else? Johnny Manziel?
No, I don't biggest even have a dumb, funny answer because I fear you.
Thank you.
Who's that one? Oh, Hakeem Olajuwon? What did he do? No.
Speaking of dipshits, gentlemen, let's jump into everybody's favorite segment. It's time for The Pile.
The Pile.
First up here in The Pile, remember, Dutch McTavish, you are representing these assholes.
Sure.
And the athlete's favorite judge has approached the... What do they say?
Not
approached.
Hear ye.
Is presiding? Is that what
yes,
it is?
Presiding.
Yes,
presiding.
The Honorable Fabulous T-Shawn is presiding here. In this edition of The Pile. So, Dutch McTavish, you are defending these guys. Up first, Aroldis Chapman, the New York Yankees closer, has been suspended for the first 30 games of the year for his domestic abuse/gun incident on October 30th, 2015.
Excuse me. Your Honor, my client is from a third world country, and it's legal there. So I believe he didn't know what he was doing. He's new to this country. He was given bad advice by his translator, and I think you should go light on him.
And I see. I do like the tone you've used with me on this particular defense. And I think one of my great concerns is we're not really sure how old he is, so he might be a minor. So
he's 14,
or a 32-year-old little league player.
I know I can't quite tell. So I don't want to do the wrong thing here, and so I just say. Stay in school, Aroldis. Stay in school.
I do have the Yankees over this year, so I will.
You know, the craziest thing is this was a deal that was set up ahead of time. There was a deal. It's been reported that MLB was looking for like 45 games, but it was negotiated that, hey, if we give you 30, will you not appeal? Will you just accept? And then it makes it look like Major League Baseball is coming down hard on domestic violence, even though Aroldis Chapman says he didn't hurt his wife that night. He's just saying he's taking the penalty. He's not going to appeal because he should have known better, not to fire off a gun.
I almost went with the Brandon Marshall defense, but
or the Brendan Dassey defense.
I'd save that.
I'm saving the Dassey defense.
All right. He's going to save the Dassey.
We're a few down from the Dassey defense.
All right.
All I can say about it is if this happened on October 30th, Halloween must have been one hell of a night.
Right.
I mean, it must have been a 48-hour like bender for him. Do you think he did it with like the scream mask on?
Was he out there? You know, again, that's the whole Halloween thing. Kind of makes me feel like he was just out trick or treating, just as any young man might.
Your Honor, it was a full moon. All right, moving on here in the pile. Hulk Hogan, the Hulk Hogan sex tape trial. Apparently, he made a sex tape.
This is still going on.
So it happened like back in like 2012 or some shit. He apparently had sex with a radio DJ's wife. And it was like Bubba the Love Sponge Clem or something. Yeah. So he didn't have sex with Bubba, but he had sex with Bubba's wife. It would definitely be a BBW tape if Bubba the Love Sponge Clem was the woman. But that apparently isn't the case. So he made a sex tape, and then Gawker Media got a hold of it, and some other media outlets got it as well. TMZ, they decided, hey, we're not showing it. Everyone else said, we're not showing it. Gawker decided to put it up, and they showed like 1 minute and 41 seconds of it. Hogan now wants $100 million in damages because of it, brother.
Your Honor, what are you going to do when Hulkamania runs wild on your wife's hot ass?
I still have lots of respect for Hulkamania.
The defense rest.
Yes, it's well stated.
Can you the defense rest, brother?
Brother.
Yeah. So the minute 41 wasn't the entire length of the.
It was
sex
30
tape?
Minutes long.
Oh.
It was 30 minutes long. Gawker put
was
a.
Was he trying
minute
on lingerie? I mean, what was?
I didn't see it. I've remained impartial. I honestly, I don't want to see Hulk Hogan fucking anybody. So I've refrained from watching it.
Or his 6'9", 284-pound daughter. Like I used to think she was like in one shot from like. Her titties up, she was okay because her titties were really nice. But then it was like, whoa, you are kind of you're Hulk Hogan's daughter.
She probably has more than 10 toes, too. Like, there's a bunch of shit going on.
It's
there,
good for balance.
Yeah. Oh, no.
So, I mean, I think he wants a little too much. I mean, I can't even believe this is still an issue here. This was in my court years ago.
It just started today. The new trial started today.
Well, it must be a new trial.
At least take Bubba the Love Sponge off the air because that guy kind of sucks.
I'm more upset with.
He's a wannabe man cow, and man cow isn't even that good. So,
he's lucky he came up with. Is that his real name, Man Cow? Is that part of
Brian Man Cow? Yeah.
Anyway,
Man Cow. He's gone off the deep end though. He's like all into like conspiracy theories and like aliens and shit.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
I'll tell you what, you son of a bitch. These aliens are coming down, you son of a bitch. They're the aliens. And I tell you, these people, everyone's got a blind eye right now. They're the Freemasons, you son of a bitch.
Now, if it had been Phil Hendry's wife, then I would be like, throw the fucking book at him because.
We need a ruling here, Judge.
I just.
God, when you're not drinking, you're slower than a beggar at Piggly Wiggly.
We're gonna, that's the
why
third
are you picking on the pig
used,
right now? Come
the
on,
third
man.
Time we've used that joke. That's bad filler.
Both of our listeners, I think,
I
know
hate
the
bad
pig.
Radio. I hate slow podcasts and bad radio.
Then fucking rule on this.
So I think that
Hogan, at least use Cub Foods.
Listen, I think Hogan was benefited.
Cops.
Hogan benefited from all the extra publicity around this. He's still in the news, brother. So no money for Hogan.
Wow.
None.
It's tough. This is the first. That might be the harshest he's ever ruled against a former athlete.
I think you should go no tanning for 6 months either.
Ooh, that would he would look strange, wouldn't he?
He really
point.
Would.
Yeah. Fact or fudge,
gentlemen? Earlier in the podcast, somehow without you guys knowing this, this is the greatest part. We talked about Jaromir Jagr.
Yes, we are.
And he is the subject of tonight's Fact or Fudge. So 10 days ago, Jaromir Jagr scored his 742nd goal in the NHL, bumping him up to third on the all-time list for most goals scored in the NHL.
He was my pick for best actor.
Yes, so that's how this all came about. It's outstanding that you brought that up, Jaromir Jagr, because...
Don't look at me when you say that.
Ladies and gentlemen, now that he's the third best scorer, goal scorer in the NHL of all time. Ever.
Behind anybody?
Wayne Gretzky, probably, right?
Yes.
And Mario Lemieux?
Nope.
Bobby Orr?
Bobby.
Nope.
No?
No, he just passed Gordie Howe, didn't he? Or is Gordie Howe number two?
Gordie Howe's number two.
Okay, all right. Well, he's eight. Wow. That's pretty fucking... I didn't live
that. That's what happens when you play until you're 58.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't even think I'm kidding. Yeah. I think he played until
he came
was
back,
58.
Yeah. I think he came back so he could play with his son. I'm not sure. Anyway.
He was 36.
Well, which pretty much is what Jaromir Jagr's doing. He's like 40-something, man. His first goal, can you guys tell me the date his first goal came on, or at least try the year?
Right. I'm going to go 89.
Well, close.
Oh, okay. All right, so you've discounted that. That was going to be my year.
5 seconds, come all up right. with this.
88.
No, 1990. Ooh. October 7th, 1990.
October 7th, 1990.
That's when Jaromir Jagr scored his first goal, October 7th, 1990. So what I'm going to do, gentlemen, here in Fact or Fudge, I'm going to give you a statistic about what was going down in the world or in America at that time. Somewhere, it could be America, it could be the world. I'm going to give you a statistic. You tell me if it's true, fact, or not, fudge. All right?
All right.
Dutch, you're the reigning champion. You get to go first.
All right.
That's in dispute. I'm
is
sorry.
This true or false? Fact or fudge?
You have old episodes on tape, right?
Yes.
Maxwell cassettes?
We got them all reel-to-reel back here.
Nice. Here we go.
Thanks, Gene.
Michael
here we go.
Fish.
The number one song in America was Step by Step by New Kids on the Block.
I'm going to say that's a fact.
That is fudge.
Oh, no.
That is fudge, ladies and gentlemen. The number one song on October 7th, 1990.
I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston.
We'll see if you guys can figure this out. You want to guess?
The Heat Is On, Glenn Frey.
Oh, good one.
Nah, that's too. That's,
yeah, it's,
man, that was earlier.
We'll see if you guys can guess.
Does Color Me Bad?
You're on the right track.
Okay.
The number one song.
Third Base. That was the number one.
Was that ever?
Do you guys not know who this is?
No, I don't.
Is it the band that sang? You're unbelievable.
No, that was EMF. Maxi Priest.
Close to you.
1 week. 1 week at number one, and that was the week it was.
That's pretty wild.
October 7th, 1990.
This is on Gimler's Knocking Her Up playlist.
Oh, man. That was a great fucking tune. I actually enjoyed that. I played it for Kate, and I was like, she remembered the song. Like, I was jealous.
I remember it now. It would not have gotten Maxi Priest.
No,
Maxi Priest, Close to You. So that is actually fudge, gentlemen.
Wow.
Step by Step actually was the number one song earlier in the year, but not on October 7th, 1990.
Wow. I was listening to a heavy dose of like Public Enemy and Metallica at that time. So that's Maxi Priest did not fit in.
We couldn't buy tapes or CDs at that point because Dutch and I were playing eighth grade hoops. You were a freshman in college.
No,
I believe at
not,
that time.
That is not true. That is not true.
All right, here we go. T-Sean, fact or fudge. The number one movie in America was Ghost, starring Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze.
See, I don't understand where this is all coming from because I have the most gray hair here. I don't know why he's saying you're in college in 89. You're not that old.
He's a little older than us, pal. But T-Shawn, fact or fudge?
2 years.
The number one movie in America was Ghost, starring Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze.
I'm just deliberating if this was a summer blockbuster or if it was something that slipped into the fall.
You make him sound like he was born in the 50s.
The former head of Yahoo Movies, the fabulous T-Shawn. He has to think about it.
No, I will say this is a fact.
It is actually fudge. The number one movie on October 7th, 1990.
Honey, Silence I Shrunk the Kids.
Ghost was actually, you were on the right track because Ghost, not even like in consecutive weeks. Well, later on it was as we got into September, but it was a summer movie.
Oh, wait.
July 22nd, 1990.
Look who's talking to.
Marked for Death. Steven Seagal. Nice. And this is how bad it was at the time. Like October, 3 weeks in a row, Marked for Death, Steven Seagal.
I definitely saw number that one in movie. The
yeah. Me too. There was a promise of that blonde girl's boobs.
I was too young to watch rated R movies at that point. I couldn't do it. All right, hey, so two fudges.
Just so you guys know, I drove myself at 9 years old into town in my dad's truck.
Come on,
this is no bullshit.
To see Marked for Death?
Nope. close though.
It was a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
I did go into town. I did go to see Marked for Death in the theater, though. But I drove myself. I found the key to the truck. Went in, started it up, drove to town. I don't know how I had money, but I was about 9. This was before I moved.
Pimpin'.
I went and saw Jaws 3.
Wow.
By myself.
Jaws 3D.
At 9 years old.
Wow. It'd be a great relic if you still had like the glasses, right? That you got from that
Jaws
showing.
3D. How old were you?
9.
Wow. So not stick shift. It was an automatic.
No, automatic.
That didn't. Still, did that have still. Michael Caine or was that just 2?
That was 2.
Yeah.
Roy Scheider, though.
Oh, all of them.
Factor fudge. On October 7th, 1990, the average price of gasoline in America was $1.33.
Can I go back to Roy Scheider and Shirley G? No, I'm just kidding. $1.33 in 1990, that seems a little bit high. I'm going to go fudge.
It is actually correct. $1.33 is correct. So,
oh, no.
Fact, that is a fact. The average price of gasoline today, gentlemen, across the country?
We'll go with $2.62.
$1.78. Is the average price across America right now?
Right now?
Yeah, it's only like $2.30 right down the street over here.
No, I know.
And this is California. So, like, you got to take into account, like, New Jersey, Texas.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Ohio. Well, Ohio is actually a little higher, but Indiana has low.
Damn. All right. Well.
So, yes, the average price, that's bad a fact. The average price of gasoline in America when Jaromir Jagr scored his first goal was $1.33.
All right, let's move on.
Tough. All right.
Over.
Fact, fact or fudge.
For a big lead, if you get any right.
Yeah. When Jaromir Jagr scored his first NHL goal, Danica Patrick was 12 years old. These are great questions. I'm very happy with myself. I had a boner, at least a semi, while I was creating these.
Or just with the Danica Patrick question.
Mm-hmm. Even at 12.
I mean...
Just saw Spotlight. I'm sorry.
Did anyone ever find out if she was showering in those GoDaddy commercials? Because it was like,
if you want
to see me shower.
I was so upset with it. I went. And the funny thing was I kept going to these GoDaddy commercials like year after year. Like, I will see the unrated version. Thanks. And you never saw anything. But they duped me like 2 or 3 years in a row. Never again.
Seems weird. I don't think she's that old.
Fact or fudge? Was she 12 years old?
Fact.
So how old do you think she was? You are correct. It is fudge.
Oh, man.
How old do you think she was?
I mean, she's got to be a couple years younger than that. Like, I bet she's 34 now. So
she's got to be.
How old did you say? She was 9 then.
You're so close, actually. He's probably like a closet case Danica Patrick fan over there. She was born on March 25th, 1982. So she turns 9, or she was. So she turns 34 this year.
Yeah.
She was 8 at the time of Yager's first goal.
Like I said, I have the fat head. All
right. He banged her, too.
Louder. Dutch, that's a big score there for Tishon, the fabulous Tishon. Here we go. Fact or fudge, Freddie Mercury had a pulse.
In 1990?
Oh.
On October 7th, 1990, was Freddie Mercury alive?
Yes.
Yeah, what a coy way of putting your question.
That is correct. Yes. Technically, Mercury was still alive on October 7, 1990, but he wasn't in very good shape. He would die a year later of full-blown AIDS. Good job.
All right.
That's called complications of pneumonia, Tom.
Sure. Whatever. Tishon, tied at 1. Remember, you guys both have your pullouts. Have both of your pullouts left. Here we go.
When you get the Scottie Pippen Award?
Pretty much.
All right.
I know where you're going with that. October 7, 1990, Jaromir Jagr's first goal. Fact or fudge, the Berlin Wall was still up and at him.
1990.
October 7th, 1990.
Yeah, no, fudge. It was not up. That's the answer.
That is correct. That is a fudge.
I believe that was 89.
It did. It came down. The Berlin Wall fell on November 9th, 1989. That's actually really good. Did you know that, or is this Bridges Spies?
I was 29 years old at that time, so I...
Well, I appreciate
really
the honesty.
Watching the news.
I do. So November 9th, 1989. I'm trying to play a tune to bring it all in right now, like to how important it was, but I'm getting an ad.
This is good radio.
This is fucking brutal.
Is this... Nice.
November 9th, 1989.
I thought it was going to be Toy Soldiers by Martika.
Ooh, that would have been a good one, too.
Yeah.
Because I think that
not
this
so
song
on the nose.
This song is about Russia, right? This isn't even about the Berlin Wall, right? Winds of Change? The Wind of Change?
Nah, it's about all
farting,
communism,
dude.
It's about what?
Farting.
I had no idea. Factor fudge. Wind of Change by Scorpions is actually about
the
farting.
Only
fact.
Song about flatulence.
That is one hell of a wind.
Very good.
Gentlemen, it is now 2-1. Tishon, the fabulous Tishon.
What is the Scorpions' other number one hit here in the U.S. of A?
Rock You Like a Hurricane.
Yes, okay.
If you throw me a Kevin Duckworth averaging more than 11.5 boards a game question, I'm going to not guess it right.
You're going to like this one.
All right.
Factor fudge. Lisa Ann had starred in 8 skin flicks in her career. Lisa Ann had starred in 8 skin flicks in her career.
I don't know who Lisa Ann is.
Lisa Ann who?
The porn star, Lisa Ann.
Oh.
You don't know who Lisa Ann is?
No. I'm all amateurs, dude.
Celebrity skin or amateurs, that's it. Well, take a wild guess or use your pullout. I mean, every other guy she worked with did.
Hey-o.
Pullout means he has to answer?
Yes.
Yes.
You're pulling out?
I'm going to do that.
All right. Pulling out. Tishon, on October 7th, October 7th, 1990, Lisa Ann had starred in 8 skin flicks in her career up to that point.
I will also pull out.
That is, you cannot do that.
A double pull out?
It would be unprecedented.
Oh, I can.
I get why you would, yeah.
All right. So she's in 8 films at this point.
Correct.
And so
she's now retired porn star Lisa Ann. She's focusing on fantasy sports.
I'm going to say then she wasn't in 8 films yet.
That she was not.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Oh no! You just won, right?
Not yet. If he gets the next one, the next one,
it's 3-1.
Then it's over.
3-1 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my question.
It could still happen. Yep.
All right. That's fine.
It could still happen. Technically, it could still happen.
I think.
So Lisa Ann, guys and girls, did not star in a tit flick until 1994 when she starred as Nurse Reams in Sin Asylum. She would later go on to star in Trained by Pain and Tits a Wonderful Life.
That's a touching story.
Hey, also played Princess Beth in Flesh for Fantasy.
Flesh.
Just saw Billy Idol.
Unbelievable. It's funny how it all ties. It all ties in somehow.
Oh, I mean, it's so clever.
I think that's called full circle.
You are
full circle in the biz, Tom.
All right, T-Sean, this could be huge right here.
It could be.
October 7, 1990, Czechoslovakia was still a country. Fact or fudge?
One more time.
Czechoslovakia was still a country.
Quit stalling.
Fact or fudge? Jesus.
Fact or fudge?
Yes.
Was still a country in 1990.
Yeah, you can use your pullout, too. You can also use your pullout.
Well, you already gave me the Berlin Wall one. And that was down.
Well, you know what? You lived in Canada. You know, you're an international man.
The wall was down in Canada as well.
Right. But not Patrick Waugh. The twat.
Czechoslovakia was still a country.
Yeah, I'm gonna return the favor and let...
Little B.I. Except for the slow interwebs you're stealing from T-Mobile. Yum Yum Donuts across the street.
Czechoslovakia was still a country.
I'm pulling out.
You're pulling out. This is huge.
Yes, it was.
The game has taken an unbelievable turn. It was. That is a fact. That is a fact. All right. So Dutch is back in this game.
It was the gentlemanly.
Czechoslovakia existed until January 1st, 1993.
Rock you like a hurricane.
That is when the Czech Republic then split from those goddamn Slovaks. January 1st, 1993. So, Dutch, you need to get this correct. If you get it right, the game goes on. If you get it wrong, the game is over. And T-Sean is the new champion of Factor Fudge. Would you like Billy Idol playing in the background or not?
Don't mind if I do.
Okay. Factor Fudge. Margaret Thatcher was still the Prime Minister of the UK.
I'm going to go in 1990. Such a good song. I'm going to say fudge.
You were aunt!
She was not.
Come on. What are you doing?
The game has come to an end. Billy Idol's off. The game has come to an end because the answer is fact. Sir John Major didn't take over until November 28th of that year. So Margaret Thatcher on October 7, 1990, when Jaromir Jagr scored his first goal.
Me? You fucked me on...
It was basically less than 2 months. It was less than 2 months.
On 5 weeks?
About 6 weeks, 7 weeks, something like that.
On 5 weeks.
So T-Sean, the fabulous T-Sean, is the new champion here at Factor Fudge on the Daily Upper Decker. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, you can check us out.
I watched The Iron Lady for that.
You should have known it then. It should have been a piece of cake. That means T-Sean's our new champion. Congratulations. Again, you can check us out every single day at the dailyupperdecker.com.
We're 1-1.
What? Well, he's the new champion. He's got the belt.
One, yes.
We're 1-1.
We'll see you next
time. I demand satisfaction.
Check us out every single day, dailyupperdecker.com. You can find us on Facebook. You can also find us on Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck, also on the Vine.
Feel free to send a letter anytime you want.
I honestly think that this is one of the greatest songs of all time.
You can even fax at 800-DDD.
The song was so good that Lisa Ann starred in a porno as Princess Beth. In a porno called Flesh for Fantasy. Flesh for Fantasy, the song by Billy Idol, came out first. Gentlemen, sing it with me. Here we go. Ready?
Flesh!
Flesh for Fantasy.
Come on!
We won! Flesh! Flesh for Fantasy.
He has herpes.
The Daily Upper Decker. Nothing but sports and crap.